episode 43.
Yes.
My name is Dave Hunt, and I'm joined by Michael Swick.
How is it going, Dave? We're coming off DC fandom, and I'm actually feeling better than I thought I was coming out of DC fandom.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be the gist of the show. I almost, as we were watching it over the weekend, I almost was like, do we need to do its own thing? It was almost warranting, like, it kind of came out, I was like, oh, this will be fine. And then I was like, and then on Saturday when I got home and I saw a lot of the stuff, I'm like, I was almost like texting you, like, do we need to record something tonight? It's like...
We'll talk about it later, but it kind of, it was like based on what one game would have done.
Yeah.
And that would have decided it.
Yeah. So we are Digital Days Gaming. We cover all aspects of gaming, all platforms of video games, mobile, PS4, PlayStation, Xbox, PC, Switch, all of it. We are weekly podcast releases on Thursday. We also have a Twitch channel, twitch.tv/digitaldaysgaming, where you can catch the show with COVID life. You can catch the show either Sunday, Monday, or Tuesday, depending on what's going on.
Yeah.
Typically at the beginning of the week, we will stream it. This week, we are on Sunday just because of things, work and life and all that stuff. The show releases on podcast platforms everywhere on 6 a.m. on Thursday mornings. And then you can also always get early access through Patreon, patreon.com/digitaldaysgaming. The biggest way you can help the show is just by sharing the show to your friends and leaving us a review. And hopefully a written review with as many stars as you feel like we're worth. The answer is 5. It's always 5.
Always 5.
But yes, if you could leave us a review and write something, it helps move us up the charts, especially on the days that we upload as people are discovering podcasts. And as we try to stay relevant with a little bit of timely stuff, like we'll definitely tag the heck out of this with all of the DC fandom stuff. So people will be looking for that. And hopefully we get some new listeners. So if you're new, please let us know. All the social links and groups and all that fun stuff are in the show notes, Discord, Facebook, all that. So please check those out. And if anybody is not subscribed to our YouTube channel, and if you could subscribe to our YouTube channel, that would be great. We're getting closer and closer to the 100 subs we need to get our own custom URL, which will make telling you where it is easier. So
yes.
All right. We are going to throw it over to Michael, and we are going to talk some more Apple goodness. So.
Yeah, let's just get the kind of boring but somewhat interesting legal talk going. So Apple has finally fired back. I say finally, like this is like a story that's dragged on for months, but like in terms of this battle, it seems like it took a while for Apple to say something. Apple has now claimed in the lawsuit that Epic asked for a special deal, which included allowing Epic Games to process payments outside of Apple Pay and also to open up their own app store on iOS, which is against terms of service. This led Tim Sweeney to basically just put Apple on blast again, and he just on Twitter put up the email that he originally sent to Apple CEO and a bunch of other people of their wants or their demands, depending on how you want to see this. And there is some language in there that says like they want this to be open for all developers to do this option, but they wanted to be the first ones, you know, and they really were just looking for themselves to get it. But if it would be open up to all developers, fine. So they did ask Apple for like a new deal, a special deal, and that did not work out for them. To add to the drama, which is the most unsurprising move, Microsoft has come out and in support of Epic Games in this battle, especially with Epic Games losing its ability to develop their Unreal Engine on iOS devices. But obviously, Microsoft has their own beef with Apple over Project xCloud, so of course Microsoft would join in Epic Games' stance on allowing a separate store to be available on iOS. Any thoughts on this? I think me and you were pretty much on the same stance of just like, it'd be really cool if Apple would allow this, but it's their house.
Yeah, I mean, I think that obviously, like we said before, like Epic is one of their, I would easily say their top 5 revenue sources for Apple, if I had to guess. Like,
in terms of third-party
app, yeah,
developers' apps, yeah.
In terms of, like, you know, like, when I did the name that you just said is skipping me, but when the president of Epic emails Apple, like, he responds to it.
Yeah, he can. He has Tim Cook's email. Tim Sweeney has Tim Cook's email.
So, I mean, there's a couple things. I don't think it ever hurts to ask. And then, you know, like, if I didn't get to see what was released in there and what he wanted for other developers. And like we talked about before, I think Epic should, it sounds like, if you're generating that much revenue, like, for a company, like, you maybe you should be able to negotiate your deal. Like, I don't think yours should be the same as, you know, somebody else that's, like, a up-and-coming, you know, developer or, like, or anything like that. So, but if there is, you know, asking for something and then just doing it is two completely different things. And so both companies look, I think, it look really bad right now. Like, Epic is trying to put the, like, well, we're in it for the people kind of thing, and Apple's looking like the evil leader. But I mean, at the same time, like, Epic knows what they're doing, and they're doing what they're doing on purpose.
Yeah, they know what they're doing. The only problem I have with this, like, I'm fine with them fighting each other because I don't really care who wins. The only thing that I hate is that Epic has kind of rallied their fan base, and is trying to get them to, like, side with them, which makes sense that they wanted their fan base to do that, but rallying them to then, like, go after Apple is just in poor taste. Like, the next, like, Epic event, or I don't know if the event's happening right now, is, like, an anti-Apple event, which is just like, come on, don't do an in-game event for your fucking, you because you want 30% of billions of dollars back.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's weird, like, in terms of what they're trying to do. Like, and I was wondering, so, like, we've heard, well, Epic wants, you know, a better cut. We know that. Microsoft, or Apple wants Microsoft to allow the App Store to vet every single game that's on Game Pass. But I was thinking about, does that mean that everything that's on Hulu is vetted by the App Store and everything that's on Netflix is vetted by the App Store? Or is it because it's a show versus a game?
I think it's a combination of a show versus game. Technically, all those shows and movies are rated for individual purchases already to go on the Apple.
Video games rated for individual purposes already too?
But with the thing that they want to do, specifically with Microsoft, is games that aren't going to be available on iOS, period, unless it's through Project xCloud. Because Microsoft's not going to develop a Gears 5 for iOS. So the only way to get it is to go through... Mm.
Okay.
You know, Project xCloud. But yeah, that's a good point in terms of, like, stuff. So
I consider
xCloud
to
rated.
Be a streaming service.
Yeah, yeah. And not everything available on Netflix is available through that. But that is a special deal that was made, and also cutting 30% into Apple. I think Apple's willing to look away if you're willing to do 30% of, you know, whatever revenue you're getting in there. Which is why I think there's, like, a special version of Project xCloud coming out to Android, to where there's, like, the Samsung one has microtransactions and the Android one, or the, like, the regular Android store, the Google Play store, won't have microtransactions. So there's weird stuff Microsoft's doing. But it's just a weird thing. And for the streaming service aspect of it, I can see why... I can see why Microsoft's like, come on, we're not going to, like, release these games outside of our service on your phone because your phone can't run these games. So that's where Microsoft is, like, not wanting to submit each individual game because that's just not how it works. And then Epic just wants to kind of cannibalize the iOS store and, you know, just have developers. Because if you want to develop for iOS and... Epic brings their store to iOS, developers are going to go want to just put it on the Epic Game Store and not iOS. So that would be taking a decent amount of money away from Apple.
And again, I think if this was done quietly...
It sounds like it was. So Tim Sweeney did release that email that he sent basically at the end of June and told Apple, you have 2 weeks. Like, the end of the email is like, please confirm
in two weeks.
I'm
sorry, but, like, in a negotiation like that, you, like, billionaires, like, $1 billion companies, you know, huge companies going back and forth and leaving each other ultimatums, like, that's just pissing each other off. If they kept it, you know, like, you can't sit there at the end of June and say, like, I want to do ABC and then say, you have until the middle of July to tell me yes or no, and then say middle of August, I'm going to just launch my own program. Like, that's not how like a negotiation works amongst this, especially on a platform like Apple's. Like, I think if you would have been able to keep it quiet and you know, respectfully negotiated correctly, like other people have done for other things, maybe not through Apple or through Epic, but went to them and started this process. And we've always heard, like, even as a kid, I've heard horror stories of trying to negotiate with Apple when they were first coming out anything, that they're not the most, you know, favorable people to work with in terms of, like, even, like, rumored bulk discounts for schools and for companies and government and stuff, etc. But I think that at this point in time, like, where if and who knows how much longer earlier it was going back and forth, but now that you're public, now everybody knows what's going on. So if Apple folds and decides to give Epic any kind of deal, it's just going to be a mutiny after that of other companies going, we want to do.
Because, like, right now, if you subscribe to Netflix on an iOS device, Apple gets 30% of that cut. This deal goes down. Why would Netflix want to still give Apple 30% of a subscription that they have nothing to do with? I just wonder, because I'm sure this talk had to begin before this one email said, like, you have 2 weeks. I'm sure there was talk before that. I just want to know, is Epic all or nothing on this? Like, if Apple says, hey, we'll take your cut down, or we'll reduce our cut from 30% to 15%, but you can't have an app store, will Epic take that? Or is at this point, because it is such a public battle, Apple has to go all or nothing? Of, like, we want our own app store, and we want a better cut on your app store.
Epic has to go all or nothing. And I think you can't have both. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I don't think you can have, yeah. And I think that getting your take, or getting Apple's take cut in half, is, like, a big ask. Like, a big ask.
Because, again, I touted this number, like, 2 weeks in a row. It was something like $15 billion in just app store revenue.
Yeah.
So any percentage knocked off from that would be, like, kind of bad for Apple, a public trading company. You know, like, their stock shareholders would not appreciate that at all.
So it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. It's not going to play out well if they keep going back and forth on social media. Like, it's not. So
it's not a great look. And then I'm sure once this gets into, like, higher court, like, that stuff will just cut out right now. Because I'm sure, like, judges and lawyers are not going to be happy with, like, Tim Sweeney tweeting, like, emails sent between the two companies. So that's probably going to backfire on them. But let's change gears a little bit. So Nintendo did a Indie World. It was a 20-minute presentation. Nothing crazy here. I mean, Nintendo's directs this year have been kind of simple or non-bombastic, as they still try and figure out what they're doing. But I just wanted to mention some of the highlights. Hades is coming. This is from Supergiant Games, the people that did Transistor and Bastion. It's been on PC Early Access in the Epic Games Store for most of this year. That is coming to the Switch. Hypnospace, which is a weird, like, kind of mystery detective game, I believe, that takes place in the 90s internet, or if the internet from the 90s continued and never evolved past that. That's a pretty cool game. Devolver Digital, always making the shit that I really like, are doing a game called Card Shark, which is a card game where you have to cheat, and it takes place in, like, 18th century Europe. So that's, like, a cool idea for doing that. Manifold Garden is finally coming out. It came out on Switch, PS4, Xbox One. It was on Epic Game Store earlier this year, last year. But Manifold Garden, if you're familiar with mine and Dave's previous work, our previous podcast, Manifold Garden would pop up at, like, every E3 for the last, like, 6 years. So that's finally coming out. And then Untitled Goose Game is going to get a co-op mode, which is kind of unexpected. I'm hoping they add more to Untitled Goose Game, just because, like, co-op doesn't necessarily make that game better. I know people adore that game, and it was supposed to be a game that I really loved, but I kind of fell off of that really fast because of how they set up levels. But pretty simple Nintendo indie world. And there's rumors of a Nintendo Direct happening this week, but I feel like that rumor is constantly changing week to week. So we'll see.
I feel like that's been a rumor every week.
It has. Every week it's like, I think our Nintendo Direct might happen. I want to do a special Nintendo episode if they just give us a Direct to work off of, but they just have not done that. So we're not forgetting about Nintendo. It's just Nintendo just really hasn't been doing much. I don't know if you watched Indie World. I know because it's Indie World, you probably did not watch it.
To be honest with you, like, I didn't really know what was going on. I've been pretty much working every day this week. So getting back from, you know, just some weird stuff going on at work. I've been at work every day. So
yeah. Yeah, I figured the way you usually deal with Nintendo Directs is if something blows up on Twitter, you'll then watch the Direct. But this was definitely not a Direct that, was necessary to watch. It's just better to watch the trailers.
Some of those games, I can catch trailers. And some of those games might be games that I've always been intrigued by and never picked them up on PS4. And then, you know, getting them in a portable version, you know, which is always intriguing. So, like, the amplitude of the use that I've been getting out of my Switch lately is changing and evolving. Like, I did not expect to be as hooked into Super Paper Mario as I was. And then, Neversong didn't grab me at all. But there's definitely some stuff on the Switch that I do want to check out. It's just a matter of, you know, time, effort, and energy.
Yeah, there is a game that they announced, Spiritfarer. And Hypnospace coming to Switch, but those same day dropped on Xbox Game Pass on Xbox and PC, so there was immediately was like, well, shit, well, I might as well just use Game Pass as a demo again, like I've been doing like this entire year for Switch games, because it seems like all the Switch games tend to come to Game Pass. So those are two.
Well, because it's inevitable though too. Like it's you know, we've heard performance issues and stuff. It's inevitable if the game struggles to run on your PC or my PC, it's not going to run on the Switch very well.
Yeah, same thing with like PS4 and 360 games. Or 360 games, Xbox Series games.
Yeah.
To where like CrossCode, which I reviewed on a PS4, that game runs okay on a PS4, and turns out the Switch version has frame rate issues.
Yeah.
It's just a common thing with Switch games. But let's get into like the meat of our new section now. DC Fandom was this weekend, or this Saturday. It's a 2-day event broken up over two different weekends. So this first weekend had a bunch of stuff happening. You could only watch it on the DC Fandom website, which I thought was a little odd, but it was a really well-run event. That I liked, and the first video game we will talk about is Gotham Knights. This is the new Batman Universe game from WB Montreal. It takes place outside of the Arkham Universe, so this is its own standalone story. It's a 1-2 player game where you can play as either Red Hood, Nightwing, Robin, Red Robin, and Batgirl. And in this universe, Bruce Wayne is dead, and Detective Gordon is also dead. So it's those four characters having to battle the Court of Owls, and it's due in 2021. Dave, did anything pop out? Because I might nerd out on some of the Batman lore.
The first interesting part that I saw right away with when we heard all the rumors that WB Montreal was working on a Batman game, a lot of people assumed that it would just be in a continuation of the Arkham universe. I was able to step aside in the stock room and watch the trailer after it aired through Twitter, and it was a completely different Bruce Wayne. So like right off the bat, like, yeah, there's a whole bunch of other stuff that guarantees that it's not part of the Arkham universe, but it's, you know, for those people that were confused by it, like, they took care of that right away. Completely different Batman, completely different voice actor, and he's dead.
Yes.
Or allegedly dead, as a lot of people are thinking. And the the four-player co-op at first, showing the four different characters at first kind of scared me, because I was like, okay, well, were the leaks getting mixed between the next game we're going to talk about and this game? And is this the one, the game as a service? And I think that it being only two-player co-op automatically eliminates it as a game as a service.
I think so, too.
Because I think if it was a game as a service, it would have to have more player, you know, more accessibility, more friends playing together. So that takes it out already. To the gameplay that they then showed afterwards of Batgirl going after Mr. Frost, was interesting, because I tend to listen to the I can watch gameplay and I can go back and watch it later and catch things and that's fine, but I tend to listen to the person that's speaking and I really focus on that person. And the creative director was talking and he said that this is dozens of hours into Batgirl's storyline.
Yes.
So like that sounds super intriguing to me, that you know, that you're in there for quite a while. And then, you know, they didn't show anything, but it does look like that building skills and, you know, building a loadout or, you know, like an in-depth skill tree, a skill tree of choice of how you play. All of that looks very interesting to me, as well as the mix in of the drop in and drop out.
Yeah. And there's a really good variety of characters in terms of what they do. Batgirl is going to be very gadget heavy. Robin is going to be probably very acrobatic, just because that's just what he's known for, and a mix of gadgets. And then you'll have Red Hood just shooting people, because he just has guns and doesn't care. And then you have Nightwing, who is mostly focused on like his like big stick, his baton, basically. So there's like a good variety of characters you can do. And even though this isn't going to be a games as a service game, by having like three Robins and a Batwoman, like, this opens the door for future DLC where they can probably add the other iterations of Robin in here. Just because you have what? You have Dick Grayson as Nightwing, Jason Todd as Red Hood, and then Tim Drake as this Robin, and then Barbara Gordon as this. So then you can do Damian Wayne, you can do Stephanie Brown, you could do Carrie Kelly. There's like a ton of cool things they could do with DLC, to where this doesn't have to be a games of service events every week, but it can have a not long tail of just like DLC characters. I'm fascinated by the universe.
Just the suits, like they've already Rocksteady and WB in general has proven that they can do some cool things with suits, and I think that with Arkham Knight, I think the potential in this game for, and I don't necessarily want it to be DLC, but if it is, for different suits for the characters to then have the attachment to different styles of weapons, which then has the attachment to different skill trees, is always super fascinating to me. A lot of people are freaking out about the numbers above their heads and then hitting them, and the RPG elements to it of it's not Rocksteady's combat. Well, Rocksteady's not making it.
But it's going to be Rocksteady's combat. Let's be fair. Like, but the combat is going to be close.
The counter combat system doesn't appear to be there. But I still think that from what I saw already, the combat looks very fluid. And then again, listening to the gameplay developer of like the characters progress with you. So you're not going to go into this Mr. Freeze fight, and if you go in there as like level 5 and he's not going to always remain level 5. Like if you're level 15 or 17, he's going to be level 15 or 17 with you. And what he does as you're fighting him at level 15 and 17 is going to be different than if you fought him at level 5. So that gives it automatically an intriguing aspect to me of replayability. But then also the game as a service mind in my head starts going off of like, what is that going to feel like if I'm playing with you and you're level 5 and I'm level 17? Like, what's going to happen?
Yeah, how does that scale? I just want to know, because the way they talked about it is just like, you know, like you said, it was like several hours into Barbara Gordon Batgirl's story. I just want to know if it's going to truly be like drop in, drop out, or if I have to play a character for specific sections of the game. And what happens when you join me? And I'm like, well, I'm doing the Batgirl mission, and then now you join me as Nightwing. Like, how does that change the dynamic? Does the game ignore it? Are you leveling up your character? Yeah.
Like, if you're Batgirl and I'm Batgirl, does that mean that we can't play together?
Yeah. Will it just lock you out? or will it just, you know, alternate costume and then display that way?
The biggest fear is, like, will it have the Far Cry co-op style treatment of where it punishes or doesn't reward you for joining a game that's maybe joining my game if I'm a couple hours ahead of you?
Or does it do the very annoying Monster Hunter thing of, oh, you can't join me because you're not this far?
Yeah.
You know?
So, there's a lot of questions to be answered, but I'm very, very happy that they showed the trailer. They showed gameplay. They talked about, and then they were it was very clear, like, after the trailer was shown, after the gameplay reveal was shown, the press releases came out. The press release had very clear bullet points of who the characters are, how you're going to play this game. You know, like, it was very clear.
Yeah, no, they did a really good job with this game of presenting it. I'm just fascinated because I love the Court of Owls story. That's really cool. I don't think anyone really believes that Bruce Wayne's going to be dead the whole game. I don't know if he's going to be playable. I don't need him to be playable, but, like, that's a whole thing by itself. It's a really cool concept, what they're doing, of, like, using this storyline from the comics. There's a lot of potential here. And then just getting away from Batman, just because, like, I still haven't played Arkham Knight just because I got tired of playing Batman by the time Arkham Knight rolled around.
Yeah, so it's that really cool, delicate balance of you get to play a new Batman game, potentially, at least for a good chunk of it, allegedly, without Batman.
Yeah, without Batman.
That's cool. Like, I think that's really cool.
And I like the Arkham universe, but I also, it's been around a long time. And I, as a comic reader, I like when the universes just end and you see someone else take on the universe. So this being outside of the Arkham universe makes me very happy because it's just like, I don't want to constantly see that universe explored, though we'll see it in the next game.
Right.
But
it doesn't pigeonhole them either, though. Like, they're not stuck. They can kind of, like, flex out a little bit and people can be like, well, that's not the Arkham storyline. That can't happen. And I'm like,
because, like, why is Mr. Freeze there?
And it was like all those things you mentioned on a Twitter where, you know, they showed Batgirl, Barbara Gordon, like, they showed a wheelchair.
Yeah.
Briefly. You know, so if you really, like, pay attention to the trailer tightly, you know, she's been paralyzed in some comics and in some she's not. So it's, you know, it's really interesting to see how they're going to tell the story. And like you said, like, is it going to have, you know, kind of what would be really cool, like, and now that we know that that games can do it and they've done it before, but, like, how interesting would it be is if this kind of has a Last of Us 2 story treatment style to it, where you're playing, you play, you know, I don't even know what it is, 5-6 hours as Batgirl, and you're hearing chatter of all this other stuff that Nightwing's doing, and then you go back and play Nightwing, and you hear all this chatter of stuff that Batgirl's
really
doing,
cool.
You know, like, as you're, and, you know, as you guys are trying to get to the same point. So, like, obviously, if they were doing that, then that's super interesting and super fascinating that maybe because they didn't know Last of Us was doing it, but telling multiple linear stories at the same time in an open
world.
That
converge together at the end.
Yeah,
that would be really cool. Co-op breaks that a little bit, but I'm fine with breaking that illusion if I'm going to play it co-op the first time with friends. But chances are, since you can play the single player, I will probably play it through single player, and then once my friends are done, jump in,
you know,
and then
jump
just
up to the higher difficulty levels, or like, I really want to test this build out or something, you know, which I hope that game has to where you can do stuff like that. But it's also, like, super interesting to me that they're purposely emphasizing only two-player co-op. So
that is that a miss?
No,
not doing four?
I don't think so. I think that they've realized, you know what, like, we can't.
Or because the other game.
No, I don't think the other game has anything to really do with it. I think it just has to do with, like, how it functions. And I think when you start getting into more than two players, like, the style of gameplay, of the movement of the grappling hooks and that you know, like, that Batman had in the Arkham games, and I understand it's not the same world, but there was a ton of stealth built into that. It's very, very hard to do stealth in a four-player game.
Yeah, because then you'll just end up everyone just attacking everybody, and you'll just end up with the beat 'em up
and scaling
detective.
I think scaling, like, trying to scale the game with four players, and, like, and I have a feeling that, you know, right, wrong, or indifferent, like, the leveling is going to be a problem. Like I talked about, somebody being level 15 joining a 5 or a 5 joining a 15, and I think they can take care of it much easier than if it's a 5 joining an 8 who's in a game with a 12 and an 18.
Yeah, that it just becomes complicated then, like. three people are probably unhappy and one person in the group is happy with how the leveling worked out. Yeah, but I'm excited for this. I wasn't really expecting, when we heard there's a Rocksteady Batman game and a WB Montreal Batman game in development at the same time, I think we're all like, WB Montreal didn't do too well with Origins. Mm-hmm. But I think they surprised people with this, so I'm hoping it turns out well. But it comes out next year, so I was hoping for a very stealthily, like, hey, this holiday, but...
Yeah, and multiple gens, current gen and next gen also.
Yeah. All right, well, now that we're done with that one, we'll talk about the other game that we keep talking about, which I don't know why we're trying not to name it, but Suicide Squad. Suicide Squad Kills the Justice League was announced formally by Rocksteady. This is a 1-4 player co-op game with Harley Quinn, Deadshot, King Shark, and Boomerang as your characters. And I didn't check out the press release for this one, but Suicide Squad looks like they are fighting Superman with red kryptonite, like I thought. It's not Bizarro, because it didn't look like Bizarro. He had, like, the proper S on his chest. So they're fighting, like, some sort of possessed Superman. This one takes place in the Arkham universe, and... the thing that got Dave really excited, it's coming out in 2022. Dave, take it away.
Gosh, why? Like, I mean, I know why, but so this is annoying. Like, it's annoying to me because I hate the way this game was revealed. So, and I hate the whole process of leading it up to it. Like, I think we saw what happened in, like, June and July with not setting expectations properly. And then, so they released the teaser image. You know, it sends all the people going crazy looking at the image. Then they say, we're going to talk about it at DC Fandom on this day. And, you know, you're like, oh, wow, they're going to, you know, like, and then you get to that day and they show a CGI trailer and they have a weird banter with the creative director where he pretty much tells you absolutely nothing. And, you know, if all the rumors, like, they're not immune to the rumors. I'm sure this fandom stuff was shot, you know, earlier, but regardless, they're not immune to the rumors of people being concerned if it is a game as a service. I think we're you know, the process that you went through with this, and right or wrong, how long it's been since Rocksteady released something, for you to then release a CGI trailer and put 2022 on it is annoying. And I don't like it. Like, I would have rather you said Suicide Squad, Kill the Justice League, and call it what it was. Like, we'll have a teaser trailer at Fandom. Like, I think that people's expectations of what they were going to see at Fandom and what that trailer ended with were just as surprised as I was. And now, as you think about it more, I'm getting more annoyed. If it's just, this is annoying. Like, this is not, if you're going to build up Suicide Squad this much, like, yeah, like, maybe there's something that DC has planned over the next 2 years to help build this up. But you just saw a game that's probably not coming out for 24 months.
I think the thing that bothered me is Gotham Knights was revealed really nicely.
With gameplay,
and it wasn't in a primetime spot, you know, like, mm-hmm. Suicide Squad got the primetime spot. It got like 7 o'clock central, I think,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, it was 8:15 my time or something. Yeah, sure.
So it was, the hype was there for this, and then it was just a trailer and then the weird banter with the one actor, I forgot his name, Will Forte. No, that's the other
Arnett?
One.
Will Arnett.
Yeah, Will Arnett. There we go. So you got that. I was expecting more, especially after the Gotham Knights one. The Gotham Knights one made me really excited, and I went into the DC fandom not being the biggest DC fan, but between, like, Gotham Knight, the Wonder Woman stuff, you know, the movie, mm-hmm. The Suicide Squad movie stuff, going mm-hmm. like, oh shit, this is gonna be a really good day. And then they kind of ended with this one, and this was just kind of like, oh.
I think
it looks cool.
Does it?
Like, in terms of the characters, like, they're the Arkham versions of these characters.
Do you feel like you know anything else about what's going on in that game after Fandom than you were guessing that the week before when that image was released?
Samoa Joe is King Shark. That's the thing I took away.
I don't know who that is. Yeah,
it's a wrestler. It's a wrestling man. Yeah. No, I mean, I at least got to see what the characters look like. Other than, you know, like, we already knew what Harley Quinn was going to look like because she's in Arkham games, but these other characters, you see what they look like. So we at least got a feel for that. We got a little bit of the idea of the story, but it did leave me a little disappointed that we didn't see it actually in play. And just, you had this conversation on Twitter of like how long this game has been in development. Or like how we perceive it to be in development, because we just assume as soon as Arkham Knight ships.
Just, 100%. Rocksteady's had one, if not two, games squashed.
Yeah, or like just complete art style. I wouldn't be surprised if this Suicide Squad game was not supposed to be in the Arkham universe and it was supposed to be its own thing, and they were just going to use like Suicide Squad the movie animation art style, and then they were like, oh, fuck, cancel that. Yeah. And then they had to do something else. Because they must have had other games canceled. So this game hasn't been in development for 7 years, but it has been 7 years, or it will be 7 years by the time this comes out.
But I feel like I'm not 100% for sure on this. I'm just speculating, but I feel like one or two of the Batman games, Arkham games, had been delayed.
Probably. I mean, yeah. I would have to look that up, but probably.
And even if you're thinking about a delay, like, they're building a next-gen only game. And my concern is, with this much time, as next-gen is evolving and people are seeing stuff, and something else, like, this is always the concern of this much time, something else comes in and does something better or different, and people are like, oh, crap. Like, or the developers are like, oh, crap, well, they're going to expect it to ours to work that way.
The only thing I would say against that is they're only coming a year after launch, or year in some, like, 2 months after launch, that they don't have to worry about that too much if it doesn't get delayed to, like, 2023. Because launch games tend to be a little bit bare bones because everyone's trying to figure out exactly what to do. So as long as they stay in 2022, I think they can avoid that. If they slip late 2022 or 2023, then they have the risk of the other developers being a year into the system and making big leaps. I'm really happy this is only next gen, though, because I don't want them held back by old consoles, especially in 2022.
It makes me wonder, though, like, and I know that we've clarified this, and I've learned this differently, but it makes me wonder, did Xbox tell them, if you're going to do this, you can't release it until this day? Or this area.
I don't think that would have affected them, because it seems like you can opt out of the Xbox thing anytime. I think they just had enough things canceled. And I think the Suicide Squad movie's coming out in 2021, so they probably didn't want to release around the same time and cause market confusion.
I get it. Like, and I'm that's just me speculating, because I still feel like that's Microsoft, like, pushing their agenda on somebody, maybe. Like, maybe not demanding it, but still pushing their agenda. And then what I'm also curious about is, again, it's called Kills the Justice League, and there is more information that we need to understand. And again, like, they know what people have been talking about. Like, their community managers pay attention to what people are talking about. The alleged leaks of raid-like activity, fighting against other Justice League, Superman, Flash, etc. I think that you'd want to get out in front of that as soon as you can, especially if it's not. So this just leads me to believe more that it is a game as a service, because they didn't debunk the rumor.
Yeah, well, I feel like it would have been weird if they would have confronted any of the rumors. And if it's out 2 years, they probably have a roadmap of like, okay, we now have 2 years to hopefully give out information on, like, hey, there's gonna be raid, which chances are raid will be post-game content, because it tends to be post-game content, so it might be too early to talk about that stuff. I'm hoping there's more at the next DC fandom in September, something, but it being so far away, I just don't know if it would benefit them really to show gameplay.
Well, it's just it just concerns me too, because like they talked about the I feel like it's confirmed. This is just my understanding of how the creative director was talking of, okay, so you can play the entire game single player, and you can switch amongst the players as you're playing. You can switch amongst the four characters as you're playing. So which essentially guarantees me that you cannot have two Harley Quinns playing together.
Which makes sense if it's going to be focused.
Not if it's
going
to have a raid-like activity.
But that it wouldn't be the first game to like tell you like, hey, fill these character classes for this raid, you know. It does limit itself, but honestly, me personally, like, if I'm playing with someone else's group, I try not to pick the same character they're picking, because it just annoys me when you see two of the same characters on the screen. But yeah, I don't think that's that big a deal. I know that might bother some people, in terms of, like, they leveled up this one character and they want to use this character, so they have to negotiate with their friends. And let's be honest, three of those characters in a Suicide Squad are going to be really popular, and Boomerang better play really well, because no one's going to fucking want to be Boomerang otherwise.
He's going to be the medic. He's going to be the medic that throws healing boomerangs.
So. Something, because, like, Keen Shark just looks like a badass. Deadshot, I mean, he's a gun guy, and then Harley Quinn is just popular because she's Harley Quinn. So those three characters are going to be picked, and people are going to be fighting for those three characters. So it's going to be, like, hopefully Boomerang plays well,
because
you're going to have a fourth person that's stuck as Boomerang every time.
Again, like, my mind goes so fast when I see these stuff. Like, and I've been looking at Avengers differently now, because the Avengers as a company has been, Square Enix as a company has been starting to use the word loot a little bit more in their presentations. I feel like if the Suicide Squad game is going to be a true games as a service, it's going to have some kind of loot in it as well, to keep people, you know, playing through it and wondering what that is and how fast they can evolve that with just these four pillars. Like, that's, you know, like, it's cool that you're going to build a game around these four pillars. Like, that's great. But then continuing to grow and evolve those four pillars is a challenge.
Yeah. I think with the characters they pick, there's a lot you can do with loot in terms of weapons and cosmetics that you can have people grind
to get. There's only so many different melees you can have for Harley Quinn, though.
But you can have different styles. I mean, in the comics, she has more than just a baseball bat. There's, like, different types of weapons she can use. She has a bunch of tricks in, like, the comic universe that she can use. Deadshot has this gun, so you can do a shit ton with him.
Yeah.
Keen Shark.
They showed him, like,
be kind of difficult
doing a fuel dump.
Yeah.
You know, like, where he was, like, and then he lit it on fire. Like, the gameplay variety and the four characters definitely look like they, and again, like, rightfully so, look like they play drastically differently, which is great.
Which is good, yeah.
Yeah.
Which Gotham Knight might have issue
doing,
but that's why that isn't going to be a games as a service.
That's why I think it's also only two-player co-op.
Yeah, because they just really couldn't stretch it any further than that, because they're all kind of based on the same... I mean, shit, three of them are Robins, so, like, they can only do so much with that. I think that's it for Suicide Squad talk. I did want to say, like, I don't know, Dave, if you, like, watched most of DC fandom. I know you were working, so you probably couldn't.
Yeah, I was working, and then I came home, and when I was getting, I was kind of putzing back and forth between the, you know, like, when it was, like, trying to, like, I think when I texted you to find out exactly how to watch it, and then I found, like, a YouTube stream that was live streaming, so I could just put it up on my TV. I definitely feel like as a digital event, they did the hour or 2 hours that I watched, like, they did a great job. Like, the who's the... they were playing a game, like, right before the Suicide Squad thing with, like, a bunch of, like, actors, like, from the shows and the movies.
Yeah.
It was like, you know, who's the villain, who's the superhero, and, like, it was really cool. And just to see them kind of, like, talking and having fun and you know, going through that stuff. And then I ended up watching, right after Suicide Squad, that's when they were doing the Batman stuff.
Yeah.
So I kind of got roped into it. It was just, again, it was just kind of on, and then... they showed the trailer and you know, the positivity around everything that they seem to be showing. The Wonder Woman 1984 trailer, like, was really good. They were relevant on the internet in multiple chunks of 2 to 4 hours at a time, like, trending. Yeah, yeah. So
I want to kind of see, like, I mentioned earlier, I'm not a big DC fan, but they had me hooked with what they had, and I was just, like, kind of enamored with, like, the presentation in terms of how quick they were getting in between things. They didn't really have any issues technically, because it was all, like, pre-recorded stuff. But just how they got in and out of different things in terms of, like, flowing from Wonder Woman to Gotham Knights to then Suicide Squad to the Flash TV show. It was really well done, and I kind of want to see, like, next or this week we're going to have the Gamescom event. I would hope the Gamescom would kind of take this to where it's, like, our time slot dedicated to one subject, trailer, and then do a panel, and then just flow like that for an entire day, as opposed to just continuing the E3 thing, where it's just like, you know, Phil Spencer or Sean Layden or whoever would do that now for Sony, come up on stage, and you're like, here is an hour of trailers. I would rather them just take a whole day and give us a trailer and then a panel talking about gameplay or showing gameplay in that format. Mm-hmm. I think that would be way beneficial to games, especially in this new, you know, work from home era. You know, like, we saw Microsoft kind of do that with their events, but they didn't really spend a lot of time specifically, because a lot of those games that we saw, like the Microsoft and Sony press conference, we had a lot of questions coming out of them. And this format would really have benefited a lot of the developers that showed games that we had questions afterwards.
Like, I feel like they did a fantastic job with Gotham Knights, and they did an okay job with Suicide Squad.
Yeah,
and I think that's the difference between a game that's going to be 6 to 8 months out and a game that's 24 months out.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, I want to see other people copy this format and fine-tune it, just because I think this could be a really cool way to do stuff.
Because I would love to see Gotham Knights in, like, March or April. Like, that's, like, the perfect time
too.
For it. Yeah.
I would be totally down for that. Or a summer game. Like we're always looking for games in the summer. That would be a great summer game. But it could be it's probably going to be holiday. Though I don't know if it's going to be, like, that big of a big hitter to justify, like, putting it as, like, a holiday marquee game. But, yeah, that's it for the news. Just wanted to praise DC fandom. And I hope Marvel and Disney are watching, because, holy shit, DC owned the internet for a day.
What do they have planned for next weekend?
So they're going to do some Injustice stuff. So a lot of people think the next Injustice game is going to be announced there.
It's about the time frame for it. So, yeah.
Yeah. They are going to do the other TV shows that they didn't do panels for, because they only did a panel for The Flash. Okay. I don't think they did a panel for any of the other ones. So those will take care of the next one, which is, I think, September 12th. So they're going to take care of the rest of their shows and whatever movie stuff they have lined up. And then I think there's like a tournament for Injustice 2, and then there's like a panel making Injustice. So I'm hoping in between there they tease an Injustice game.
What do you think of all the... I know you hated the movie, so what do you think of all this Snyder Cut stuff and releasing it in 4 one-hour chunks?
Okay, so... People are going to hate me. I think Zack Snyder is an overrated director. He's not a very good director. He's really good at music videos, in terms of, like, his movies. If you think about them, they have, like, really cool scenes set to music, and those are really cool. So he's a good cinematographer. I think Justice League will be better than what it was, because Josh Whedon had to cobble together a movie based on footage Zack Snyder shot and had a vision for. So that's why Justice League was so bad, because they basically said, hey, Josh Whedon, we know you have your own creative ideas, but take all the footage this guy shot, who has completely different viewpoints than you, and then here's like 3 weeks to do reshoots, and also Henry Cavill can't shave his mustache. Go. And then we got the shitty Justice League that we got. So I think this Justice League will be inherently better, because you have Zack Snyder directing and putting together the movie that he shot with his script. So it's going to be a better movie. I just don't think it's going to be that good. I didn't like the way they presented Zack Snyder, in terms of, like, it was basically like he would cue someone in, and then they would, like, kind of jerk him off, and then they would get someone else in, and then they would, you know, be like, oh my God, I love your work, I would die for you. Like, they had a couple fans pop in there, and it's just like, it just didn't feel great. The trailer... People were freaking out about the trailer, but he just put Hallelujah to footage that we kind of already saw, just under a different filter, because he likes his like grays, dark blues, and like browns. So we saw a different filter put under it. So I don't know. I have a lot of thoughts about this. Like, I have a feeling the movie will be better than what it was, but I didn't like Man of Steel or Batman versus Superman. So my definition of better doesn't mean I'm going to fully enjoy it. But other people might. If you like those movies, you probably will like what he makes with this Justice League.
All right. While we're talking about it, there's a question in our questions from Todd. He goes, any thoughts on the Matt Reeves Batman trailer? And the part that I saw was interesting in my mind. I'm like, do we really need to do another Batman reboot? But then as I was reading a little bit more, or looking at on social media a little bit more, it sounds like they're saying that the Batman movie is going to take place in year two of his development. And the show that's coming, I think, to HBO Max, right?
Yeah, Gotham PD.
Gotham PD is going to take place in year one. So my first initial thought and problem with that is I don't want to watch a TV show to have to be able to understand a movie.
You probably will be okay, because I doubt it's going to be that deep. It's going to probably be as deep as people that were like, you need to watch S.H.I.E.L.D. to really enjoy the Marvel Universe. And it's like, no, you don't.
And then again, full disclosure, because you know that I don't know actors' names very well, or actors, I don't connect things very well, but who is this Batman?
It's Robert Pattinson, or Pattinson. He was the vampire from Twilight. I'm just saying that because that's a thing that I know you probably are aware of.
I've heard that, so I was like, they're like, oh, it's an evolution of his character, and I'm like, oh, yeah. Okay.
He has turned into the last like 5 or 6 years into a really, really good actor. So I'm kind of happy with him. I think the bat suit looks good. Mm-hmm. I like his like Batman voice that we got. It wasn't like the weird gargly Sylvester thing that Christian Bale used, or the
robotic. Also looked very brutal.
Yeah. That's one of those things where like, I don't know if I want more dark and gritty Batman, but I'm willing to get Matt Reeves, the director, and Robert Pattinson a shot. I don't know if I like his look as Bruce Wayne, with the hair and everything
That. He's not as clean and executive looking.
But if it is year two,
he wasn't as much of an executive yet.
Yeah, he disappears for to train, and then he comes back because people were like, "What the fuck happened to him?" So it makes sense. You have Paul Dano as Riddler. Riddler's going to be like the main villain in this. That looks cool. The people Batman was beating up had like Joker face paint, so they're like setting up that. Zoe Kravitz, I think, is going to be Catwoman, which is a really cool pick for that. I really like everything that I saw with this movie. And I also do like, Zack Snyder's, doing his thing with Justice League and his Batman. I do like that there was like some synergy in terms of like both directors kind of shouted each other out during their presentations of like Zack Snyder's like, I'm looking forward to see what Matt Reeves does with his Batman. And then Matt Reeves was like, I'm looking forward to seeing Zack Snyder's Justice League. So I like that there's like synergy and they weren't ignoring the existence of the other Batman in the universe, or not universe, but like in the
ecosystem.
Media sphere. Yeah. but I'm really excited for this, because I really think Robert Pattinson can do a really good job at it. The director's good. If you're going to play a Nirvana song in your trailer, you're going to hook me. So I'm excited. I like the idea of like doing year two of Batman and actually getting actors that are age appropriate for it. Unlike Batman versus Superman, where it's like Ben Affleck is old Batman, but it's like Ben Affleck's like 40-50 years old. That's not old Batman. It makes no sense to me. Or Christian Bale, like, I forget his timeline, but I feel like he was almost too old for Batman for that time period. So like they feel age appropriate finally for the story they're telling. So I'm excited for this one.
Angela asked me this question yesterday, and she put it in chat tonight too. And maybe you're better to answer this than I am. Like, why are there so many Batman movies?
Because Justice League failed so bad, and Batman versus Superman failed so bad, that Warner Brothers said, screw it, we're not doing a cinematic universe. We can't pull it off like Marvel. We're just going to let people do their own property, which is why Joker lives in its own, like, edgelord tower, and this Batman can exist, and Justice League is his own thing. So they're just kind of stepping away from it. So also, Ben Affleck kind of had like a midlife crisis and like quit this movie. It was supposed to be Ben Affleck, but then he got like his back tattoo and was like, I'm going through a divorce and I want to be a vaping cool guy. So then he quit this movie, and then they hired Robert Pattinson, which sounds like that might have been a better move. So that's why there's so many Batman. And also Ben Affleck decided he's going to return to be Batman in the Flash movie, thus making this even more confusing, because he will return as Batman in the Flash movie. But Michael Keaton is also returning as Batman in a Flash movie. So, yeah, there's going to be a lot of Batman in the next, like, 2 years, which is probably why the video games are moving away from Batman in their video games, because it's already too many out there. Yeah.
All right. So I know that we purposely kind of, not purposely, but we went deeper into DC fandom because we both know we haven't had a chance to play a lot of stuff this week. And I noticed it on my app today that while I was playing before we recorded that you did this as well. So I think we can have this conversation together. I played Battletoads.
Yes, I did as well.
Yeah. How far did you get?
The next level past that really annoying bike mission or hovercraft mission.
So you're still like in Act One, I'm guessing, like where your bike's crashed and you're like at this place where the witch is hiding or whatever. Yeah.
So, yeah, I got through that section.
So you and I did the exact same part. That bike mission was a pain in the ass.
That bike mission was terrible. It almost made me think of like maybe I'll just stop playing because I really didn't like it all the way up until that point.
Yeah, it's interesting to me that it actually rewards you for getting close to almost getting hit.
Yes, yeah, like it gives you like that bonus, like 1500 or whatever.
But yes, the combat was interesting. The different toads is fine. Yeah. Like it's expected. You can definitely feel the difference when you're playing with them. I'm not sure if it's just from just me being rusty, but I'm having a problem with the verticality of the combat, like moving up and down on the screen.
It's a little off. Like so there are definitely hits. Overall, with the combat, like Battletoads is supposed to be a difficult game. I'm not really finding it difficult. I'm just finding little janky things to where there's something with the combat that just doesn't flow like I would want it to, especially after playing like Streets of Rage 4 earlier this year, that the combat just doesn't really connect. I had problems just like lining up me just eating flies, you know, like because you do that for like whatever, like health or energy. So I had problems with like the paths or whatever. But I still enjoyed it. It's just there's something missing with the combat. Yeah. The art animation is really good. Like it hooked me with like the cutscenes and the writing.
Yeah, it's great. Like all the little talks and the dynamics back and forth. I was laughing. And then the combat, like not enough to make me stop playing, but enough to make me like, okay, that's irritating. Because then the game is trying to tell you like, oh, switch characters and continue your combo. But I feel like the character switch isn't one. I don't feel like it's fast enough. And then two, I don't like it on the D-pad.
Yeah. Like, the only time I really, like, use both character or all three characters for combos is when you, like, just, you juggle a character. That's the only time I was able to, like, get it successful, like, continuation. But I do like how it handles in terms of, like, when a character gets beat up too much, the other characters just get put on a cooldown. Or that character gets put on a cooldown, you can flip between them.
Yeah, there's no, like, death or anything. So.
Yeah. So I'm enjoying like the combat at a very basic level. I'm playing it on like the normal difficulty or whatever it's called.
Same. Yeah.
Though, totally during that bike mission, I had to turn on the invincibility thing just because at a certain point, it just kept going on. Like I got through the first section.
Yeah,
fine.
It was too long. Yeah.
Yeah. But I love the writing. The writing has been so good so far in like the first, you know, like half hour, 45 minutes.
The news reporter was hilarious.
My favorite part is when they think they're getting robbed.
Yeah.
And then one of the toads are like, oh, we're too poor to get robbed or something. And then he's like, okay, let me go apologize to the burglar. Yeah. You know, like I loved like the writing, that weird mini game where they're at their like day job.
Yeah. I was like, this is an actual level.
Yeah. And you're like earning points. I love the humor, the writing animation for it. So like, I'll probably continue. I just have to hope there's no more missions like that bike mission. Cause I just don't have patience for that. Especially if they drag.
Yeah, so I mean, the biggest takeaway for me so far is within like the first, I guess, maybe hour of playing the game, is that even if you don't have Game Pass, because this is on Game Pass on PC and on console, it's on both. Because I was playing on PC because my console's broken.
Yeah.
I mean, but it's fine. I'm getting an HDMI port replaced on it. Thanks, Owen. But It's definitely, I can see that it's worth $20. So if you don't, if you don't want to have Game Pass, and if you are just maybe just looking to get it on Xbox or get it on PC, it's on the Steam store as well. Like, it's definitely, right off the bat, I feel like it's definitely worth $20.
Yeah, it definitely seems like it's in there. I don't know if I would have picked it up right away if it wasn't for Game Pass. So that's another advertisement for Game Pass. Please, Microsoft, if you want to sponsor us for Game Pass, we talk about it a lot. So I don't know. I like any time now Microsoft announces a game, whether I'm super interested in it or not, I'm usually on board with downloading it, giving it a shot. Yeah. So new month hits, I already have like 4 games downloaded this month on my PC waiting for me to play.
2 more pretty big hitters coming too, right? Wasteland 3 and Where Are They?
Yeah, which I think I have preloaded. I forget how that's working, but I think I already have that downloaded and I can play it, but I don't know what it's going to load up because I don't think the game comes out until the 27th.
Yeah. So definitely was pretty cool, but I like I said, I didn't get a chance to play a lot of stuff. Just because of work and there's some other craziness going on just in general, but I have been watching it because the bubble is working and the NBA playoffs are very interesting right now,
dude. They're so good. I feel like the crowd not being there has like elevated the game, because there's nothing to get in the player's head other than the competition. And yeah. I think that's like brought out some of the best basketball I've seen in years. Yeah.
Like, I just watched Luka like hit a buzzer beater in overtime to beat the Clippers like in game 4, I think. So like, I think that series is like 2-2. We were eating dinner when that happened today. And it's
watching
just
Damian Lillard just go off, but like now his finger's broken, so it's just like, oh no.
It's just really cool like how they've been able to pace it out like we talked about before, where you can just come home. I could, there's a game on at 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
And then again, I think I found my first show that I like absolutely, and I keep forgetting that I watch this because it's like a 20-minute thing and the show's terrible, but I keep watching it. So I'm like, I feel like I got my first like hate watch show that like Michael watches all the time.
Yeah.
There is a show on Hulu called Bless This Mess.
Okay.
And it's pretty bad. But it's only in like 20-minute increments. It's like these two New Yorkers that like inherit a farm in Nebraska and they moved to Nebraska and the farm is like in terrible shape. Like, he spent the summers there as a kid and the farm's in terrible shape and they're going to become farmers and they're both from New York. And it has funny parts to it, but none of it has to do with them trying to like grow this farm. They only address it like every 3 or 4 episodes.
Yeah.
It has just like really funny moments in it, but it's got, I can't like recommend somebody else watching this show, but I kind of want to see how it ends.
This is your turn off the brain time.
Yeah. And I'm like, we'll watch it like one episode and it's like 20 minutes long. And then I'm like, okay, now I want to see what happens next. Cause I would like how much, like there's a part of me that was like, okay, what happens with this farm? And it's the point where like, there's all these characters in this, it's a small town where the lady that runs the local market is also the sheriff. And then somebody lives in their barn because the lady that passed away said he could live in the barn, but he still comes in the house to use the bathroom.
Yeah.
And he doesn't know anything about farming and, so he's trying to pick seeds. It's bad.
Yeah, every once in a while you need a hate show to go. Yeah, like for me, it's like I had to go into work twice this week just to like do some cleanup. So I didn't have a ton of time to play anything because I've just been distracted by like
going to work and not wanting to go to work.
Yeah, exactly. So there's like a depression before the day I have to work, depression the day of work, and depression in between days working. So like I just kind of just do the thing where I've just been watching like more sports than like I've ever watched just because of the bubble being like from 12 o'clock to 10 o'clock, there is a basketball game being played.
Yeah.
And in between that, the White Sox have been going on a streak. It sadly ended today. But, like, just watching the White Sox just, like, destroy pitchers the last like 2 weeks has been like really fun to watch.
To be fair, you face like two of them that were like 21 years old for the Tigers that they just didn't care and they had to get them up.
Yeah, I mean, they had the Sox have had to do the same thing. Like the White Sox pitching staff is like really shaky. I think the one of the guys that the Tigers brought up, the Sox that day also brought up one of their 20-year-old pitchers. But like the White Sox right now, like, are the fastest they've ever hit 50 home runs. Mm-hmm. Like their old record was 36 games. They've done it in 28 games. So it's just been fun watching the White Sox like finally click and realizing that they have this team locked up for the next like 6 years, you know, like this is going to be the team they're rocking for a long time.
At a
decent budget. So they have money probably to add pitchers depending on if Reinsdorf doesn't mind not putting money into the Bulls.
Right. All right, so I think that's it for playing and watching?
Yes.
Okay. So we got a couple questions here really quick. So you can send us questions using hashtag AskDigitalDays. You can post them in the Facebook group. You can post them in Discord. And we'll find them. Or you can post them in multiple places, and we'll still see them multiple times. The first question is comes from the At the Destiny Show podcast, which is a podcast that I have guested on twice, once as PS Nation and once as Digital Days. And so he asks, not Destiny related, when are we getting the Super Mario collection, and when in the world will Microsoft and Sony finally announce prices? So the prices thing, like, I don't even know anymore. Like, I'm just like, it's like August 23rd today, right?
Yes. Like, you're gonna literally go into Target, Walmart, or Best Buy and swipe your card to find out how much you're paying for your console, and the cashier is gonna be like, "All right, let's find out." Like,
yeah,
it's crazy.
It's getting really, really bad. Super Mario Collection, I would love to see it. I don't think Nintendo's gonna do it.
Yeah, so like there was a rumor a couple months ago, which is what he's referring to, that Nintendo was gonna put this collection of like all their like 3D games into like one box set, and I'm like, Nintendo will charge $60 for each one of these
just
games
to play it on the Switch.
Yes, they
with,
are
with,
not
with shinier ability or some motion controls. Like, they're not putting Mario 64 and Mario Sunshine and I can't even Mario Galaxies onto one Switch card and saying, here's $60. Like, no.
Yeah. Yeah. The most I can see is if they do a Mario 64 collection, because there's like Mario Sunshine and 64 in collection.
So you're talking about Mario games on
Galaxy
64
games
collection, Mario games on Wii collection. You know,
yes,
like,
that
like
would
maybe
be the most.
I think
and
you
even
might see
that's
two,
a stretch.
Yeah, you might see two games on one card, but they could. I feel like right now they could Zelda Wind Waker HDFI Mario 64 until people cost $70 and people are like, here you go.
Yeah, no, I legit think like Nintendo's never been that friendly to where they're going to put a bunch of games in a collection. The most we'll get are two, and I wouldn't be surprised if we just get one Galaxy at a time at like $40 to $60 each.
Yeah.
So
I would
want
hope,
it.
I would love, yeah, but I mean, I've even looked at stuff because, like, as I've been playing the Switch a little bit, Angela's been helping Owen on some stuff on the Switch. She's kind of been playing with it a little bit, and she's getting a little better. I was like, Angela can play Captain Toad, like, you know, and get her into playing some games. And I looked it up. I'm like, that game's been out for like 2 years. Why is it still $50? Like,
yeah, anytime they have a sale, it's like $10 off or $20 off sometimes. And it's crazy.
On a side note about my wife playing video games, and I think that this would be very funny, and she has not heard me say this out loud, but this was part of the reason, like, I was messing with the Xbox when I found out it was broken, is that I believe I can actually plug a webcam directly into the Xbox and stream from it, like a USB webcam. And I'm going to make my wife play Battletoads.
Oh, that should be fun. You're not going to be aggravated by it. No one's going to be aggravated from Battletoads.
I'm not going to be aggravated. I'm going to be laughing my ass off. But I will set the webcam up in the living room, and I have two Xbox controllers, and she's going to play Battletoads, and the first mission we're going to start off with is that biking mission.
I can't wait for Chemstar to be on Twitter being like, watch this couple argue in real life while playing Battletoads. It's going to be great.
And I'll take one of my nice webcams upstairs and put it on top of the TV, and I'll make sure that there's enough lights on that you can see both of us on the
couch. The funny thing is, she's going to end up being better at the game than you are and getting frustrated at you.
She got tennis elbow playing Wii Tennis.
But this is a different game. Watch, she's gonna get really good at this game, and then she's gonna like beat the hell out of you with the controller because you messed up. You messed up a combo or something, and then you're gonna bring us so much Twitch fame when people clip this happening.
Watch Digital Days Gaming on Twitch as wife embeds Xbox controller in husband's forehead.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, do you want to know the next question?
All right, so Darren on Facebook, what does Dave think about all the things being removed from Destiny 2? So the reason why this is getting some more clout and stuff is because they announced this when they announced Destiny Beyond Light. They said the game's too big. It's, you know, we can't keep doing this. And they're taking a bunch of stuff that players aren't playing and putting it in the vault, putting it aside, and they may or may not bring it back out. And the gist of it is now people are saying you're taking, you know, like they had a weekly update last week where they kind of went into deeper details about what's going away, weapon quests, catalyst, things like all these things that players are working towards, and pretty much saying, if you want these things, get them before November 10th. And so people are like, now there's this talk. A lot of it's coming from, I feel like, Paul Forbes, or Paul Tassi, works for Forbes. I don't know how I got those all mixed up. Paul Tassi is a writer for Forbes. He is a very big Destiny player, and he writes about Destiny. He has a daily Destiny blog on Forbes. So he's talking about like paid for content and, you know, all this stuff. And I feel like I saw some data somewhere that part of what they're removing is some of the year one content that already was free to play anyways, that the Warmind campaign that came out like in May of the first year of Destiny, 0.05% of the player base is playing this, but it takes up like 18% of space on the game.
Yeah.
So like this, you know, they're going to revamp the free to play version. They're bringing some other stuff back from Destiny 1 to Destiny 2. I think that everybody just needs to have a wait and see approach with this. Like, let's wait until November. Let's see the stuff that they're adding to the game. We know we're getting Europa. We know we're getting the Cosmodrome stuff. People are like, well, we already paid for the Cosmodrome in D1. Well, there's a lot of people that didn't play D1 that are playing D2. A lot. And there's more people playing Destiny 2 than play Destiny 1 now. And with first being like, there are people that only play PC games, and you couldn't play Destiny 1 on PC when it came out at all, and it's never been on PC. So there is an entire different audience that's there. But I also feel like with the addition of Europa and what we're getting, the other landing zone on Earth of Cosmodrome, which was from D1, there is going to be more in Europa or possibly deeper into this expansion that I think people are realizing. So I just think you need to have a wait and see approach with it. And if anything, if Bungie has proven that if you as a community don't like it, they will listen to you and they will make adjustments. So like, just have a wait and see approach. I was worried about the battle pass thing. Like, yeah, the game has some draw to it and some ebb and flow to it of where there's highs and lows. And like, I haven't played it like in 2 weeks and I don't really feel like I'm missing anything. All right, I think I played like, you know, last week before we recorded, I messed around with Khalif. There's just wait. Let's just see. Like, if it's terrible, like, trust me, the internet will tell us it's terrible. Because Even you're noticing the Destiny chatter, which means it's integrating into other parts of the gaming communities.
Yeah, it's just usually the usual same people that are just like. There's a camp of the Destiny people that are like you, that are just like, wait and see. And then there's a lot of people that just seem like they hate fuck Destiny. Like, they love
but
Destiny.
But they have
but
more
they
hours
hate...
in it than I do.
Yeah, but they hate everything that's going on, but will still consume every little bit of content that comes out. So it's, I don't know, it's just weird every time that goes in there. And then you get like the closet Destiny fans to pop up every once in a while. It's just like, okay.
Yeah. Again, like I've said, I love Destiny primarily for like the people that are in chat. Like there's people that I play this game with in chat on a regular basis. I've done things for people that they've never done before. They've played a game for 2 years and there's certain things that they haven't done before. And that's the part that I enjoy the most. And then just kind of just playing video games with my friends. That wins almost every time.
Yeah. All right. Dave, we got one more question for you.
Yeah, R Savage 86 in Discord. He's got a question for the podcast, mostly for Dave. If you had to give up one forever, baseball or gaming, which do you choose? So I'm going to catch you on a caveat. I don't play baseball anymore. I play softball. but no, it would be, yeah, it'd be baseball. I love baseball, but not as much as gaming, in terms of the diversity that gaming gives me. And then I could always play like football and basketball. So.
Yeah, there are other sports. If it was give up sports forever or gaming, you'd probably have a harder decision.
Yes, I would. But like I don't play baseball anymore. I haven't played baseball competitively since I was like 13. And I've been playing softball competitively, semi-competitively or whatever you want to call it, beer league competitively. Yeah. So yeah, my wife's saying gaming, like no chance, because I could play baseball as a game.
That'd be cheating, but sure, okay. You could play cricket and get like the same basic feel. And then like me, I don't think I love sports that much. I would give up wrestling in a heartbeat, you know, if we want to go into sports entertainment. Like, I don't know. Gaming's just too important. It's really hard for me to like think about like
it's so diverse. And like I said, like if you said it was sports or gaming, like yeah, that'd be a little bit harder. But just because sports is as diverse as gaming is.
Yeah. But that is it for questions. I'm hoping Gamescom is good this week. and we do another bonus episode or Nintendo does something really cool. But that's it for the show.
Yeah. So as always, the links are in the show notes to the Facebook group. Join there, have conversations in there. Something, you know, we have some great conversations in there. Discord, there, you know, at times can be some fascinating things going on in Discord. There's always some fun happening in there with some people. So you can join both of those. They're free. You don't have to do anything to join those. You request to join the Facebook group. Michael and I are usually pretty quick on it because we both get notifications. Discord, the invite is in the show notes. It should just let you in. If it doesn't, please let me know and we'll fix it. There are multiple things there. You can follow us on Twitter at Digital Days Pod. You can follow Michael at The First MJC. You can follow myself at Good Dave Hunt. And you can always follow us on Twitch and YouTube as well. That's super appreciated. Just to help continue to grow the numbers and to share the show. You guys have been doing awesome with the downloads and sharing it, as we've seen a consistent leveling or growing lines on, as every time I peek up and look at it. Michael's Tony Hawk interview has been doing amazing, so if you haven't checked that out, please check that out. And if you get the documentary or you watch the documentary, let him know what you think. Tweet at him so that he can have a conversation with you about that. That game is coming out like in what, like 2 weeks?
2 weeks, yeah. I was completely surprised. It caught me completely off guard.
The same day as Avengers. What are you going to do?
Oh, that's going to be so hard to decide.
So, yep. And then lastly, the two things. There's a PayPal link in the show notes as well. If you feel like you want to just give us a direct donation, that's great. If you don't want to support us any other way and you just want to say, here's a buck, here's $5, here's $500, cool. that's just a way for you to do that. And then also Patreon. So patreon.com/digitaldaysgaming. $1 tip jar, which essentially pays for 1 month of podcast subscription fees that we pay. $3 is the Discord access. You get access to a private server within our Discord. Again, you can still join the Discord, but this is just the private channel that's in there. And if you're a Twitch subscriber that links your Discord account and you subscribe to us on Twitch, you get access to that as well. $5 gets you the podcast 24 hours early, which is part of the reason why we're recording this on a Sunday, because my wife's running away from me for a week. Not a week, only a couple days. And then the $7 tier gets you a monthly bonus episode. So we've done food, we've done E3 memories, origin story, and retail life. So those are the four episodes that are there, and it's coming close to September. So we are still looking for feedback on possibility of for show topics of what you guys would like to hear us talk about. And that is the show for the week. So again, hashtag Ask Digital Days. Follow us on Twitter. Join the groups. Join the community. Hang out. Have a bunch of fun. Talk games with some really level-headed, really cool people. And I hope everyone has a great week. Talk to you next week.
See ya.